This is Victory House.
Greatness unleashed. Greatness unleashed. I want us to start our journey this morning with Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll read from verse 1 to 3. Then we'll flip to 26, chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. And then we'll go to the New Testament. The Bible says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I think that's somebody too here. I said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I mean, if you're an immigrant, you'll be saying amen to that. Amen? Amen. Because what God does to Abraham, be an immigrant, right? And I'm not going the immigration way this morning, so let me stay where I'm supposed to be. I will bless you and make your name... I will bless those who curse you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I declare that that's somebody's testimony in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are blessed beyond every stress in the name of Jesus. Amen. I declare that anything that looks like curse that has been acting or will act over you is broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. Genesis 26 from verse 1 to 3. Can one of these guys come and help me with this phone? I think somebody's trying to reach church office. Genesis 26 from verse 1 to 3. Genesis 26, 1 to 3. The Bible says, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go to Egypt. Live in the land where I will tell you to live. One person is told leave. The other person is told stay. So you need to find what God is telling you. Then verse 3 says, stay in this land for a while and I will bless you. I thought the person was here. Yeah. For you and your descendant, I will give all this land. Yeah. I said, for you and your descendant, White House is for you. Yeah. There is somebody listening to me this morning. You will one day say, the president is my relative. Yeah. I thought that person was in this service. Amen. Will you say a bigger amen? Amen? Many of the times when I pray for children here and my children, I say, I make room for you at the top. And the top in my head is the top of the top. Is the top like the White House. Amen. There is somebody listening to me. You'll soon say, my relative is the president. Amen. For you and your descendant, I will give all these lands. And I will confirm the oath I swore to your father, Abraham. Matthew chapter 20, the longer read, verse 20 to 28. Matthew 20, 20 to 28. The mother of Zebedee, sons of Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down and asked a favor of him. Let me just pause here a little bit. You know, sometimes the fact that you spiritualize an action does not make it spiritual. Because some people wake up, praise the Lord, pray. And then they think it makes it spiritual. No, it's spiritual. Because the lady came, knelt down, and then she went very sober, and you would think she wanted to worship Jesus. Yeah. What is it you want, he asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Sir, where's the phone, sir? It should be ringing. So I think somebody is trying to get to church office, so they've been disturbing us. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared for by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. He says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Greatness unleashed. There is a cry in every human heart. There is a desire in every human heart to become meaningful. Even the people that tell you that they don't want to be anything, they really, somewhere within them, they want to be meaningful. They want their life to count. They don't just want to show up. Some people will even say something like, I don't want to be like Methuselah, who the Bible just said, he just lived and he just died. That's why people want to have children. They don't want to just have children of relatives. They don't want to just say, well, my relative has, my sister has her own child, my brother has her own child, and that's good enough for me. Many times people will say, I want my own too, because they want to also be relevant. They want to have something that they will say they did with their life. And every now and then we get to that place where we are asking ourselves, what have I done with my life? Some people, it is when they do their birthday, they just remember that, oh, I'm getting closer to the end. Amen. You know, people like to tell themselves, well, I'm a year younger today. Well, it doesn't matter what you say. Whether you say you are younger or you are older, the truth is that you are not the same age you were last year. You have changed and you have moved. You know, some people will say, oh, you look like 25. They will try to encourage you. Receive the encouragement. Amen. I also try to receive the encouragement. But tell yourself the truth. You are counting the time. You are moving ahead. You are not the same you that you thought. The time is ticking. The thing God called you to do, you have less time to do it today than you did yesterday. So there is a desire in man. There's something within the heart of man that yearns for something more. And it is because the Creator put it there. It is because God told man. God put it in man. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, if you read from verse 26. The Bible said, you can pull it up, sir. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 26. The Bible says, God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish. And then he says some other things. That means that when God created man, the original idea he had in man is for man to be great, is for man to be a leader. And sometimes when you talk to people that God has greatness for you, sometimes some people ask the question that if all of us are great, then who will not be great? Who will do the other things? Because in their mind, they think like the mother of Zebedee's sons or Mrs. Zebedee, you know. They think like that. They think that, oh, when we talk about greatness, we talk about people serving people, people becoming less or doing menial jobs, and they don't want that. They want to be the boss. They want to be ahead. And there is nothing wrong with being ahead, because it is godly. When God created man, that was what God put into man. God put that innate desire into man. So man was born in the image of God, and we are created to lead. We are created to be great. So if you are here this morning, I want you to touch yourself. Say, I am created to be great. I am created to lead. Now, when you move to verse 7, the Bible talks about the fact that God created them male and female. That means that leadership and greatness does not belong to the male man alone. It also includes the woman. The woman is also called to be great. The man is also called to be great. So if you are a woman, if you are a lady in the room today, also know that you are called to be great. You are called to matter. You are called to do something. You are not just called to just exist and just be in the background. God has something for you that is worthwhile. And you should be excited about that. So the greatness mandate is for man and woman. Then if you get to verse 23, 28, the Bible says they were supposed to rule. But it mentioned the things they were supposed to rule over. They were supposed to rule over the fish, the environment. It was not to lord it over another human being. So our greatness is not necessarily be lording it over other human being. It is lording it or being the person and woman and man in charge of our environment. And that greatness finds expression in our giftings and the purposes that God has for us. So God has an agenda for you from Genesis chapter 1, that you and I should not be little people. You and I should be people that do great things for God. I want you to raise up your right hand and say it loud and clear. Say, in the name of Jesus, I will do great things for God, in Jesus' name. Several years ago, I read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 28, 13. God has been talking about blessings from 28 verse 1. And when you get there, you see, the Bible says the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to all that he's telling today. And you will always be on top. When I first read that, I read it in the King James Version, that you will be above only. And naturally, as a human being, I thought to myself, above only means that I'll be the best. Above only means that I'll be the top at anything I'm doing. If I'm in an organization, I'll be the... So who will be at the bottom? Is there anybody that God does not like? And that's how many of us think. We think that being the top means that we have a different perception to what it means to be the top. Can I tell you? Being the top is necessary. It does not necessarily mean... It's not just about position. Is about what you carry inside of you. There are people that are at the top of their field. There are people that are doing great things in the agenda of God, and nobody knows them. There are people that are fulfilling the fullness of what God called them on earth to do, and they are very silent. They are anonymous. You see, when we get to heaven, one of the reasons that heaven will be interesting is because you will see stars you never knew here. There will be stars there that they were never sung here. Their story was never told here. Nobody knew them because we thought that they didn't matter. Even in the human body, have you not noticed that some of the most consequential human parts, nobody sees them? How many people have seen their lungs before? I hope you don't see it in Jesus' name. Because that means it's working. Because by the time they start showing you the picture of your lungs, something is not good. How many people have seen their heart? But you've seen your hand, right? You've seen your leg. Sometimes you've seen your head and you are complaining whether what the size looks like. It's too tall, it's too big, it's too small, it's too everything. You know, if your head is big, it means that your destiny is also big. Amen. And if it is small, it means that your destiny is short and sharp, petite. So most of the parts that we can see, many people think those are the parts that are more glamorous, but there are some parts that we cannot see. They are very glamorous too. Because they are the ones that sustains the parts that we can see. And if many people can survive without their hand, one hand. There are people that don't have hands. There are people that maybe don't have legs. But I don't know if there are people that don't have heart. I know medical science, they try to do all kinds of things, but you can't live for long, So these are very important. So when we talk about greatness, we need to understand exactly what greatness means. Because in the name of Jesus, if you are part of this house, you will not die small. Amen. I thought I would hear a bigger amen. Amen. I say before you leave this earth, you will matter in this earth. Amen. I say before you leave this earth, everything God placed on the inside will find expression. Amen. So God has a greatness agenda in his agenda for you. And you see, that greatness agenda is not something he thought about later on. It's something he thought about before you showed up. Before you showed up. Because in that Genesis 1:26 that we read, the Bible said God had a meeting, and the meeting was, let us create man that will look like us. Because some people said, the reason God created man is that he wanted somebody that would take care of all that he has created. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then in 2, he says, the earth was without form and void. That means, and I don't think God created form and void and Form and void. Formless and void. God did not create that. I believe between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, God created heavenly beings. Because if you read Genesis 1, you will never see that God created angels. You will never even see that angels became demons. But we know that this happened later on when we get to Isaiah 28, when we get to Ezekiel. We know that all this happened. So somewhere in that Genesis chapter 1, though it was not recorded, something would have gone wrong there. So before God got to Genesis chapter 1 to 26, God already had creatures. God already had people who could take care of the garden. God already had, because if you read later on in scripture, you will find that some of these angels, one single angel will kill 185,000 soldiers. So God didn't lack people to walk. He didn't lack people to do things. He didn't lack creatures, but they were not in charge. They were just people that were yes, sir. They did not have the power of choice. So God wanted a creature that had the power of choice who would still choose him in spite of the power of choice. Because these creatures that he created, they didn't have choice. He didn't give them a choice. The only person that tried to exercise choice, he lost his throne. He lost his place. The devil thought he could choose whether he could live in heaven or not. No, God said, no, you don't have that power. You don't have that power. You either be an angel or you be an angel. If you don't want to be an angel, get out. And God kicked them out. And so after that time, everybody understood that, look, we are not man. We are just angels that God has made. And we just have to do what we are told. It's only man that will now say, God, did you really say that? And sometimes that looks like a little bit, if you look at God, you think that's his weakness. No, it's because God has another agenda for man. And that agenda is to act like him, is to be co-creators with him, is to create. Angels can't create. We are the ones creating. After God created Genesis 1, in Genesis 1, all that God created, he didn't create computers. He did not create the United States of America. Who did all of that? Man that he created did all of that because God put something inside a man. So God made you great, not later. He made you great even before you showed up. So every time you show up at work, know that this work, you may not have seen greatness, but you have greatness inside of you. There is something that you carry that this place needs. You carry more than you know. You carry more than you have seen. You are much more than who you see today. Because sometimes you may be tempted that you are who you have seen. You may be tempted that you are who you've seen in the past. You may even be tempted by who people have told you that you are. But I've come to tell you this morning that you carry greatness. Greatness is on the inside. Will you touch your stomach and say, I carry greatness. Greatness is on the inside of me. So if I don't succeed to do anything this morning, if I'm able to convince you that God's original idea is greatness, and that greatness did not happen because after you showed up. No, it happened before you showed up. So that means that your showing up does not negate it. The fact that you have made mistakes does not negate it. The fact that your parents made some mistakes does not. Once you recognize that you carry something and you partner with God, what you carry will find expression. In this season, what you carry will find expression. If you can say a bigger amen, it will happen faster. So because of this, we need to understand what greatness really means. Because it is skewed. It can be misused. It can be misunderstood. Just like every word in English, sometimes you don't even know what the meaning is. Because when you're talking to people, they say, that's great. That's very great. And then you say, what is great? The food is great. So does greatness mean something is delicious? Does greatness mean that something is tasty? Does greatness mean that something is beautiful because they drew it or because it's on Instagram? No. The greatness we are talking about here is a little different from that greatness. The greatness is the dominion mandate that God gave man in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. That greatness is the same greatness that God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. You know, God told Abraham and said, Abraham, I will make you great. I will make your name great. And then God now told him what greatness will look like. You will be blessed. But you see, greatness is you will be a blessing. God said what greatness really is. It's not even to be blessed. It's not even to be loaded. It's for what you carry to find expression. It's for the blessing to touch other people. It's more than you. So if you want to understand greatness from scripture, greatness is more than you. Greatness is more than being blessed. Greatness is being find a blessing. I want you to lift up your right hand and say loud and clear, say, in the name of Jesus, I declare I am a major blessing to this generation. In the name of Jesus. So greatness is what God told Abraham that he will experience. And then when we get to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says Christ was crucified. Christ had to observe the law. Christ had to subject himself to the cross. So that the same greatness mandate that God started in Genesis 1:26 that Adam lost, and that God extended to Abraham in Genesis 12, is that same greatness that Jesus has called you and I to partner with him in. He says that Christ has redeemed from the cause of the law. So that the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? I will make you great. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. You will not just be blessed. You will not just have stuff. Because sometimes we miss the point. We miss the whole point. Because the whole point was not the object. The whole point was not the material. And sometimes that's where the church has found itself. Sometimes we have missed the whole point of prosperity. Sometimes we have missed the whole point of God blessing us. Sometimes we have even missed the whole point of prayer. Because sometimes I've had people pray before. And I'm like, all this our prayer that we are praying, there is nobody being changed except us. Somebody once said, if you want to know how mature you have become in your walk with God and in your prayer, ask yourself the question, how many people will benefit from this prayer apart from me? How many people will benefit from this prayer apart from me and apart from your children and your family member and anybody that you really, really, really know? Because many of us have mixed it up, just like the mother of Zebedee, or just like the mother that brought his sons to Jesus and said, Jesus, excuse me, sir, you know, when you come to church, you see somebody raise up their hand from the back. I have a question, sir. Man of God, I got to talk to you. And then you are thinking they want to say something. And then they come, they kneel down, and they begin to worship. They talk to God and mention the name of God. Ah, our Heavenly Father, the Father of Fathers. You know, they make God look good. And then she opens her mouth and says, you know what I want? I want you to make one of my children to sit by your right hand, you know, and the other one by your left hand. I just want them to be somebody. That's my request for them. Now, many of us will have thought that Jesus said they shouldn't be somebody. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus kind of even said, he validated that request, that the desire to be great is godly. The desire to be something is godly. But the reason for being great, we should understand it. And Jesus said the reason for being great is not so that you will lord it over people. It's not so that you will be pushing people. So that you will carry your leg. Somebody will hold one leg. Somebody will hold the other leg. Some people think because they are great, they can't do some things. Some people think greatness means that you cannot do small jobs. Some people think greatness means that, oh, you are the boss. You are the one that tells everybody what to do. No. Greatness does not mean that. The fact that you are great does not mean you can't do small job. The fact that you are great does not mean that if you are in a house and there are many, many people that can serve you, that you can't serve them too, that you cannot wash plates for them. Oh, yeah. Some people will think, well, at my level, I can't do that. At my level, I can't do this. At my level, I can't do that. Who told you that? You don't understand what greatness is all about. Because Jesus said, greatness is not about the position. It's about what you do. It's not about position. It's about actions. It's about the kind of activities you carry out. And if you carry that activity out, you may not have the position, but because of the action, you are already great. Some people will think that greatness will be when you hold the mic in a church like this, when people see you, when people know you. No, that may not be greatness. There are some people that are holding mic that are not greater than people that are not holding mic. Nobody has seen them. Nobody has heard them. Nobody knows them. Nobody will ever know them. They pray. Before the pastor comes up, they pray. You see, when the pastor comes up, the pastor is just somebody that comes to show off everything that has been done before he comes up. It's not the greatest person. Don't be deceived. It's not. I know how church works. It's not, the pastor didn't play the keyboard. Before today, some people came yesterday to prepare. Some people were doing something there. Some people do the video. Some people do that. Those are great people. The fact that the pastor now has the position, it may be great, but it may not be great too. But I want to tell you today, you may not have the position, but if you have the actions, you qualify. You qualify. Because that was what Jesus was saying. Jesus was not saying that it is not good to desire things. In fact, the desire for greatness is godly. God put it there. But you need to understand that greatness is not about position. It's not about where you stand. It's about what you do. It's about the service. Greatness, true greatness, this morning, I want to conclude, is service. Is service, is serving people, is serving people, giving your life for people, giving your life for people. Your life is too big just for only you. If you live your life for yourself, you have made it too cheap, you have made it too small, you have commonalized it. God did too much for it to be all about you. It is just too more than you. Have you not noticed that there are more people in this earth than there used to be ever? And you're only one person out of 9 point something billion. From ratio, you are small, sir. From, 1 to 9 point something, you are a little matter in the whole big matter. So, what are we saying this morning? We're saying that greatness, for you to experience greatness, you need to stand from the place of understanding. Don't be like the mother of Zebedee. Look at what Jesus told her. Those that want to truly be great must serve. Must serve. Victory House, I'll be making commitment in the next 1 week about service. There are people that have been showing up in this church every day. Some people will say they didn't greet me well. Can't you greet other people? Amen. If you're watching me, can't you come and greet people? Amen. they didn't sing well. Can't you come and help them to sing? Because you don't even know how much work they are doing. You know when you hold this mic sometimes, you had the person that wanted to come and give testimony. They summarized the testimony. Everything she said was not part of the real summary. She forgot what she was supposed to say. I shall be holding mic for a long time. When you come here, some things you forget it. Even pastor, amen. Ask them in the back. Sometimes I send my note to them. What I preach here is different. Because the pressure, the way some of you are looking at me like, pastor, surprise me now. Or pastor say something that will wow me, and then you're looking at the face, you're like, oh, if I sit down with that face, this baby will come and collect the mic and say, let's go and sit down. I thought you would say something again. So these people are doing a lot of things. True greatness is not position. Because some people come to church, don't you know who I am? Don't you know? I don't know who you are. And I don't need to know who you are. If you are really something, if you are really somebody, get down there and do something. Get down there and get busy. Get down there and act. Get down there and serve. There was some time ago, I found myself in a church. And for some reason, I used to be somebody that I pray. And I still pray. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. So I prayed a lot. So when I got to this church, somehow they just put me with some people that, you know, they would just be organizing events. I'm like, me organize events. I don't have a problem with events, but this is not me. I felt like these people don't know who I am. I'm almost a pastor from where I'm coming from. And you are putting me to organize events. And I'm like, one time I felt very misused. And I started telling myself that I need to announce myself to these people that they need to know who I am. You know, connect the dots and let them know who I am. But the Holy Spirit said, calm down. Who are you? Who are you, sir? Who are you? You don't know who I am. My father, my daughter, my who are you, sir? You are you. You and I, we are nothing. Especially when we are talking about Him. Especially when we are talking about God. God is everything. God is everything. So God told me to calm down. It's okay. So I stood there. When I have opportunity, I'll go and pray. And then before I knew it, I was praying more than organizing events. And before I knew it, I was leading the prayer team. And before I knew it, I was a minister. In fact, I started being a minister before some of them knew some connection that I had with ministry. I remember one time I was going to travel. I was going for, if you were here for my birthday, the pastor that came to preach, Pastor Dari Adeboye, I was going for his wedding. I was the best man. And by immigration standard, I was not supposed to go because I think my visa was expired or something funny. So I went to meet the pastor. I said, I'm going to Nigeria.
I said, but I have some issues with my visa and all of that kind of thing. But I said, but I must go for this wedding. He said, why must you go? I said, you may not know, but this guy is my good friend. He said, and so what? Then I had to now tell him the story why the guy is my good friend. I said, you know the Redeemed Jesus Church of God? He said, yes, I do. I said, I am related to the people that started the church. He said, really? And this is many years after I've been around there. Many times after I've been around there. He was surprised that he never knew that I knew anybody. Because really, does it matter if I know anybody? It does not matter. Because really, Jesus said, it is not the position. It is not the people that stand in front. It is not the people that stand in back. If you serve, everybody may not have opportunity to be famous, but everybody has opportunity to serve. Everybody. There are people that have been coming to this church since we started. You have not thought about anything you can do to help. You see what we are not doing well. That's why you should get to the and get there and do it for us. We can't do everything. The one we are doing now is the one we know how to do. Help us to do better. Come and join us. Come and serve. Because when we are talking about greatness does not find expression unless you serve. I have found something about God. Everything that God created is like in a seed form. Seed is never fully matured. If you don't do anything with the seed, you may not see the fruits. There are many things that many of us carry. You cannot see more than what you are seeing today because you have not done anything with what you carry. You have not gotten dirty. You are talking about position. Some people are wondering, when will they ordinate, you know? I want to be a deacon. I want to be what other things that people will become? Assistant pastor. I want to be a pastor. I have been in this church for 170 years. And so what? There are people that are nameless in scriptures. There are people that don't even have the office. You know that in the Bible, in the account of the gospels, Jesus had 12 former disciples. Not many of those. We know Peter, we know James, we know John. But maybe we know Thomas because of he was a notorious guy. But sometimes you don't know all the other guys. But some of you may know Stephen. How many people know Stephen here? Stephen in the Bible, amen. People are looking. It's not a trick question. Stephen in the Bible, if you know him, can I see your hand? What happened to him? He was stoned. Do you know Stephen was not an apostle? Stephen was a deacon. Do you know what a deacon is? They are the people that serve table. They are the people that clean the church. Sanitation department, driving and parking, holy police. All these are ministry that we should be doing here. And some of you are here, you still don't have anything to do, and you are still saying, "What? God, use me." God say, see, there's a lot of things for you to be used for. Oh, I carry. No. The action, when you get into the action, you are already great. Sometimes the position will come because of the action. Some other time, the position will never come. But it does not mean that you don't still have the greatness inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling you. God is calling me. And is asking that will you allow the thing that I have put inside of you to find expression? Or is this the way you just be living your life? Just 8 to 5. I must pay bill. You've been paying these bills since all these days. Have you finished paying them? The bill will never stop. The work will never stop. It will always be work. There will always be one reason or the other to do more work, to do double, to do triple, to do quadruple. But the question this morning is, greatness is inside you. Will you let it be? It's your actions, sir. It's your actions. It's your actions. It's what you do. If what you do after this message, oh, great message. No. It doesn't even need to be a great message. You just do something great about it. You go and work this out. You find something that God wants you to do. And some of the things that God wants you to do, they are inside this church. Some of it, there are much more of the things that God wants to do outside of this church. I'm believing God that in the name of Jesus, under the influence of this ministry, there will be people that will be making cities to bow. There will be people that will feed a whole subdivision. You can be like that. You can begin to serve food. You can. There is nothing God places inside of you. It may be a ministry to pregnant women. It may be ministries to people that are walking on the street. There is something inside of you. If you do nothing about it, it doesn't become bigger. Everything God created is in seed form. But if we do something, if we act on this greatness, it will be unleashed. So when we say greatness unleashed, it's not that greatness is not there. It's just not finding expression. But I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, everything that God put on the inside of you will find expression.